Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Happy Sunday, especially to those joining us on the live stream. I think we fixed all the problems. If we're not, I'm really sorry. It's probably my fault at that point, but we'll do our best. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but most priests have relatively soft hands. Right? We don't have a lot of manual labor to do. I'm not saying priests don't work hard, but generally you don't think of us as doing a lot of manual labor. Some priests or seminarians would even say these hands are for chalices, not calluses. Right? I'm not personally one of them, but right? We're not known to do a lot of hard work. I learned that maybe the hard way, personally. One summer, I worked on a construction crew pouring concrete at Kellogg and Rock. These hands are not made for calluses in that way. I was not very good at it, and what I learned maybe most directly that summer was that when you're fatigued and weary from hard labor, the sun seems like an even greater obstacle, right? Because it's one thing to have to do hard work and to know that you're going to have to do it all day. But when you start to feel that midday heat, you feel the sun beating down on you, you know it's going to be like that for the rest of the day. The sun is not backing down in any way until you go home or until the sun goes down. Right, you're stuck with that reality. It's one thing to be weary and tired from the things that we do. But oftentimes we fall into despair or are ready to give up when we feel those external factors acting against us. I actually think that's something similar to what our readings are trying to show us today. To acknowledge those outside forces that seem to make it harder for us to persevere in our walk with God. And yet his promise, his gift to us, is that we're actually free from those forces. And in some ways, none of those matter. If you remember last Sunday, I talked a little bit about the line from O Holy Night, "The weary world rejoices." I think a lot of us are feeling that weariness in a particular way in this year of 2020. We're just a little bit tired. And that weariness comes when we know that we have a destination, we know that we have a goal, we've been working hard at it for a while, but we don't feel like we're all that close to the destination. We still feel like there's quite a ways to go. Right? Not unlike if you're driving on a long road trip, it's been several hours, and then you look at the green sign and it says, destination, 240 miles. Still got a little ways to go. Right, that's when we can really feel that tiredness in our world that we might feel today. But then when we start to feel tired and then we feel these other forces acting on us, like I felt the sun working on that construction crew, it can feel like something that we can't avoid. Right? There was nothing that I could do to avoid the sun or overcome it on those summer days. It was always going to be there. And in our weariness, it can make us want to give up. I think in our first reading, the Israelites find themselves in a very similar situation. They'd become weary and tired trying to follow the Lord and his law, but finding themselves continually falling short. In fact, they'd experienced the effect of this falling short in their sins by being sent into exile. Literally being conquered by other nations and sent away from their homes. Not only their homes, but the promised land that God gave them and promised to protect for them. So they'd spent these decades in exile feeling like God had abandoned them, feeling that God had let the nations be more powerful than them and overcome them. Our first reading from the prophet Isaiah comes when they actually return to the promised land, when they're returning to Jerusalem. So when Isaiah starts to say, "Comfort, give comfort to my people," as he speaks in the name of God, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. For indeed she has received from the Lord double for all her sins." Brothers and sisters, that's not a generic way to think about any kind of punishment. I think everyone that heard Isaiah would have thought of the exile that they had just experienced. I'd realize that that was double for their sins. But the hope and promise that Isaiah offers from Almighty God is that he doesn't leave them there. He doesn't abandon them and say that these outside forces are always going to overcome the people of Israel. Instead, he encourages them to look at their own lives, to look interiorly for the freedom that God has given them. That in a way, none of those outside forces mattered. What could they do? They could always prepare the way of the Lord. They could make straight his paths, filling up valleys and making low hills and mountains. Right? Isaiah wants to tell the people of Israel, don't give up and feel like you're far away from God. Don't feel like that there's nothing you can do and that you'll always be overcome. But realize instead the freedom that he has given you. The freedom to know him, especially through the law and the prophets. And the freedom for you yourself to continue to live out and be faithful to those laws. To be faithful to the Lord. Right? What Isaiah is saying is, no, nothing can change that. When we were in exile, that didn't change. When we come back, that doesn't change. If the temple gets destroyed, that doesn't change any of that. You're always free to know, love, and serve God Almighty. So instead of being focused on those outside factors, focus on that. Focus on the way that you can prepare the way for him and receive him when he comes. That's similarly what John the Baptist is preaching out in the wilderness in today's gospel. Right? To tell the people that yes, the Lord is near, the Messiah is coming after him, who is much greater than he. But he also doesn't want his disciples to just kind of rest on their laurels, to sit on their thumbs and wait for the Messiah to show up. But instead he says, recognize the ways that you can clear the path for him. That you can make straight the path to your heart to receive with incredible joy the Savior when he comes. That in a way it didn't matter if he came the next day or he came 5 years later. The point was to be ready and to do our part in freedom to receive him with joy, no matter how weary we might feel in this world. And I think our second reading is actually my favorite description of this way that we can live in that freedom of God. Because St. Peter first talks about maybe the Lord delaying. Right? It might seem like us that he's waiting for a long time. But then shortly after that he says, but he'll come like a thief in the night and come very quickly, even maybe very soon. So it can be really confusing to us. Peter, are you saying that he's going to come right away or he's not going to come? Right? Because if you're anything like me, who might be a little bit of a procrastinator, right? You're going, if he's going to come soon, like, I'll be ready. But if I could have it a few extra years, you know, that would be nice. I'll take my time in getting ready for the Lord. I think what Peter wants to say is it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if he comes tomorrow or comes 5, 10, 50 years from now. Our job in freedom is to be watchful. Our job in freedom is to choose to love and serve him. That doesn't matter if he shows up tomorrow and we see him walk in the door, or if we have to wait a long time. If we're ready in that way, we will never grow weary, because there's nothing outside that can affect that. We're always able in freedom to choose to love and to serve him. Brothers and sisters, I think that freedom is so important for us to understand in our spiritual lives, especially in our desire to overcome sin. Because when we learn about sins, we think of the ways that it affects everybody else. Right? How maybe our lies tear down others, or they affect them in another way. How stealing might affect somebody else. How we might offend God in so many of the things that we do. And certainly that's a good way to examine our conscience and see the sins we may have committed. But that's all dependent on outside forces, all dependent on the circumstances of our life. And instead, what Almighty God wants us to realize is that in our freedom, sometimes we choose to turn away from him. Sometimes we do choose not to do his will. We choose to go our own way or to follow the ways of the world. But again, the hope and joy that we can have in the midst of that, just like the people of Israel, is that he doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up and say, oh, you've sinned once, so you're just like that forever. You're condemned to be the liar or the cheater or whatever. Instead, he says, I do not condemn you. You're free to choose to be converted and repent and come back to me. You're able in freedom to prepare your heart, to remove those obstacles, to realize that a Savior is coming to help you overcome those sins fully. Brothers and sisters, that's the joy of confession. Right? Is that we can realize in freedom we can still come to the Lord. We don't have to back away from Him and try to deal with it ourselves. I think that's the only experience I've had that is similar to what the people of Israel experienced in the exile. Right? That whenever I know I've committed a sin, especially if it's a serious, maybe even a mortal sin, right? The hardest thing is usually to come back and pray. Because in that moment, we feel so unworthy to be in the Lord's presence. We feel like the last thing we should do is to come close to Him in the church or to pray. And yet that's precisely where our freedom lies. That He allows us to come back to Him, to humbly admit that fault in confession, and receive the fullness of His salvation and kindness. So just a reminder, all the Sundays of Advent from 7 to 8 p.m., I'll be in the confessional if you want to come receive that forgiveness and experience His freedom. So today on this Sunday, but also for the second week of Advent, let us in this weary world realize the freedom and joy that we can find. Realize that we do live in freedom to choose to love and serve Him no matter what's happening around us. To not let those outside forces dictate whether we feel close to God or allow Him into our lives. But instead, in freedom, let us prepare the way for Him. Prepare a highway straight to our hearts and our souls so that He can come in and give us relief. That He can be present with us in this weary world. That in that way of freedom, of choosing Him each and every day, we can rejoice with Him no matter what's happening around us.